because your path in life is growing in front of you. It always is. And it's up to you. Sliding doors. Do you get on the train? Do you not get on the train? I always say, get on the train. You can get off the train again, but get on the train. And that's the advice I give to everybody when people, oh, I don't know what to do, or I'm scared. Or I'm just like, what's the worst that can happen? You know, if you're jumping out of a plane without a parachute, I say, don't do that. But apart from that, you know, just try it, do it. If you don't like it, go back to what you were doing before.
Hey, midlifers, welcome to the Midlife Makeover Show. Are you ready to break free from your mundane midlife? Are you feeling trapped in a vicious cycle of rinse and repeat days? No matter if you're experiencing a divorce hangover, job burnout, or you just have the midlife blues, I got you. Hey, I'm Wendy, your hostess of the Midlife Mostest. I too was hit by midlife like a freight train. I too felt stuck in the same dull chapter. I wanted the clarity of how to create a new life beyond divorce and the courage to leave an unfulfilling career. But I kept telling myself that I wasn't worthy and it was just easier to stay in my comfort zone. Until I found a little secret, the freedom to live my life my way. In this podcast, you will learn how to achieve a vibrant midlife mind and body, how to create solid relationships through love and loss, and how to create an awesome second half of life. Grab your grande latte, pop in your earbuds, and let's get this midlife party started. Hey there, my beautiful midlife maven. Big news. Enrollment is officially open for my Freedom at Midlife 7-week group coaching program starting January 16th. This program is your step-by-step guide to transforming your life and rediscovering the confident, joyful, and badass version of YOU. If you've been feeling stuck, overwhelmed, or even a little lost, don't worry, I got you, girl. And hey, you may have missed the $300 coupon that expired on December 31st, but no worries, I'm still giving you $200 off. Just use the code 200 at checkout before January 10th. And let me tell you why I created this program. At age 45, my life was a mess. And I mean an absolute mess. I was broke, divorced, sick, and emotionally drained. I felt stuck, staring at a pile of broken pieces and wondering what the heck just happened. How do I even begin to fix this? Then one day, I had this crazy vision of myself driving an RV across the country, free, happy, confident, and at peace. That vision saved me because it showed me what was possible. Fast forward to today, I rebuilt my life step by step and created the exact tools and techniques I teach you in this program. And guess what? If I can do it, so can you, I promise. Here's what's waiting for you in the Freedom Program. 7 transformative steps with easy to follow tutorials. From rediscovering your inner superhero to building confidence, setting boundaries, and creating a life you love, this program has everything you need to thrive in midlife. You'll also be a part of a sister circle community. You'll have a private group of incredible women cheering you on every step of the way. You'll get the Freedom Playbook, your personal guide to walk you through each step. And we meet every single week for live coaching calls for guidance, encouragement, and a little Q&A. And you get my exclusive meditation series designed to nourish your mind, body, and soul. Let's be honest here. If you're feeling stuck, disconnected from your dreams, or frustrated with your health and energy, this program is for you. Midlife isn't an ending. Let me remind you of that. It is not an ending. It's a chance to reinvent yourself and create the life you deserve. I want you to head over to freedom@midlife.com to sign up. Use code 200 to save $200. But hurry, please, please, please. This offer ends on January 10th. All right, let's dive into today's episode. But seriously, don't forget to join us. Your freedom is waiting. Hey there, my beautiful midlife warriors, and welcome back to the Midlife Makeover Show. I'm your host, Wendy Valentine, and today's guest is someone who truly embodies courage, transformation, and the beauty of embracing limitless possibilities at midlife. Gail has been on an incredible journey, and she's here to inspire us all. In 2019, at 56 years young, she did what many of us only dream about. She quit her corporate job in the UK, uprooted her life, and designed a minimalist haven in the stunning landscapes of southern Portugal. Yes, Gail and I are neighbors. How cool is that? But Gail's journey isn't just about creating a new home. It's about building a new life, one rooted in holistic wellness, personal development, and a whole lot of adventure. From plant-based whole food cooking and intermittent fasting to meditation, kettlebells, paddleboarding, and hiking, my fave. This woman has mastered the art of thriving in midlife and beyond. Her new book, The Midlife Edit, it's excellent, a transformative self-help journey for women, is a premier guide for women in midlife who are ready to rediscover their purpose, build resilience, and create a life they love. Today, Gail will be sharing her story, her top tips for holistic wellness, and how you can transform midlife into your greatest chapter yet. Please welcome the incredible Gail to the show.
Ah, oh, that was amazing. Thank you. I was wondering who that was about. It was about me.
Who is that amazing woman?
Oh my God. I want to meet her.
We had such a great chat even before we hit record. I mean, we have so much in common. We both live in Portugal. We both sold everything. We both were like, the heck with this. Let's start something new. So what inspired you to just like, all right, I'm going to start a new life. I'm leaving my corporate job. I'm moving to Portugal. What sparked that?
Well, that's a big question. So I had always been somebody who was very success focused, success driven, and I was very motivated by success. So the harder I worked, the more money I earned, the bigger the house I got, the better my car got. And I ended up with this huge house with 22 rooms. It was huge. And it was the most beautiful house. It was very run down when we bought it, but over the years we restored it and it was stunning. And then there were a couple of things that kind of changed the way that I thought. So I was in the house and I walked into one of the rooms, and then I had this moment of, when was the last time I came in this room? And I couldn't remember the last time I'd been in that room. And I figured, well, I obviously don't need it if I am not going in this room. And then the second thing was, I had got everything I'd always wanted, you know, the beautiful house, the beautiful cars, the luxury holidays, everything I needed, money in the bank. But I still felt like I wanted something else. But what is that something else? What is that something else? And then I realized that, you know, actually the most precious thing I could obtain is time. That's the most precious thing. And it's something I didn't have, because I mean, it was my own choice to be so focused on the success, and I don't know why, but it was suddenly having this huge house with just two of us in it and thinking, why am I working so hard to basically keep this house, this huge family home that two people are in? What is that giving me? Of course, it's an investment and it's going up every year and it's something that I can sell and downsize. But is it giving me any joy? Well, not really, because it takes so much maintenance. It takes so much money to actually just stand still with that home. And so I thought, well, I've got this nice house, nice car, nice everything, but I'm still seeking something else. And then I watched the film Up in the Air with George Clooney.
Oh, yeah.
And in the film, he says, oh, imagine everything you own in a backpack. And he's talking about how your belongings are a burden. And honestly, I don't think I heard another word of that film, because all I could think of, I was fixated on the idea of, oh, my goodness, what if you could get everything you own in a backpack? Imagine how agile you'd be. Imagine where you could go live wherever you wanted. You know, and then I start looking around the house and I'm like, what's that painting on the wall? What value is it bringing me? I've got to look after it. I've got to clean it. It's just sitting there. And so, and then I'm going around the house and I'm, why do I need that many shoes? Why do I need that many coats? Why do I need all this gardening equipment? Excuse me. And then I just looked at this house and thought, I don't need this. And actually, if I sold this house, I could go anywhere in the world if I wanted to. So I said to my husband, sorry, I've had a cold. I'll let you edit that out.
We'll edit that cough. What? Yeah, Jack, edit that cough.
So my husband and I had always talked about moving to Italy, and I'd learned Italian. We'd been to Italy maybe 30 times. That's no exaggeration. We'd been to Italy. And I got this idea of, well, actually, you know, why Italy? Why not somewhere else? And so this whole journey began really, really quickly from watching George Clooney to realizing my son was never going to come home. He left home when he was 18, off on his adventures. And then we thought, well, we're saving this family home for him, but he's not in it. So this is our opportune moment to do something different. So we don't have anyone else that we're responsible for. My parents are healthy. They're self-sufficient. I don't have any more children. I only have one child. We had the ability to downsize, get our capital from our house, and then say, hey, let's do something crazy. So we said, this is a window of opportunity. Not everyone has that, but we have that window of opportunity. Maybe things change in the future. Maybe we have to go back to the UK. Maybe we have to settle somewhere. I don't know. But we thought this is a window of opportunity. But we were still thinking about Italy. And then I just happened to see this show about the north of Portugal, actually. And this couple were relocated to the north of Portugal. And I thought, that's the kind of Portugal I haven't seen. I haven't seen that. It's so rugged, it's so beautiful, it's so unspoiled, it's so rustic. So typical me, booked a flight for within 48 hours of seeing that TV show.
So awesome.
Yeah, about 48 hours of seeing that TV show. We were there in the north of Portugal. And yes, the scenery is stunning, it's beautiful, it's fantastic, it's outstanding. It's just so unspoiled and windswept. And then it started raining and it didn't stop raining. And I was like, well, if I'm going to move to a country, I really don't want to move anywhere where it's raining. And then we looked on the weather chart and it said it wasn't raining in Algarve. And I said, oh, I don't want to go to Algarve. That's where everyone goes in Portugal.
But there's a reason why they go there, right?
We got in the car and we drove down to the south of Portugal. We were like, that's where people come here because it's always sunny. So yeah, that was the whole story of, we've got this house, don't need it anymore, got this window of opportunity, let's go somewhere else. We came to Portugal, I walked into the market hall in Lole, which is a market town in Algarve, and I just said, I can do this, I could live here, I can do it. And I think the thing is, most people overthink things, and I just thought, let's not overthink it. I can think of a million reasons not to do it, but I only need one reason to do it, and that's why. And that was the decision to just go, right, let's go for it. And that's what we did.
So courageous. You know what's interesting? Like with change can be either voluntary or involuntary, right? Like, so for example, you get served with divorce papers, that you're being forced to change, right?
Yeah.
If you get fired from your job, you are being forced to change. If you get a bad diagnosis, you're being forced to change, right? But then when you're living a comfortable, nice life, to voluntarily go, you know what? Let's just uproot this whole thing and do something totally different. To me, that's even more courageous because that's like, you could have just stayed right where you were. What did your friends and family think when you were like, hey, yeah, we're going to move to Portugal?
I don't think they were too surprised because originally we had lived in the middle of England. So we were in the middle of England, that's the only place to say, really. So it's in Worcestershire. And then I decided I wanted to live by the sea, by the ocean. So one day I just put my house on the market and moved, you know, 3 hours away down to the coast. And people were like, why? You know, all your family live here. And I said, well, I want to live by the ocean. So I've got a bit of a history of, oh, let's just do it. Yes. Let's just do it. So, I mean, I've got a story. My husband will tell you this is completely true. He came home from work and said, there's a for sale sign in the garden. I don't think that should be there. I wonder where that should be. I went, oh, no, we're moving. I've already put it on the market. already on the market. Don't worry about it. I've sorted it out. And so he's used to my...
He's totally cool with it.
Yeah, because I used to get annoyed with him when I do these things kind of spur of the moment. So I remember being at work and someone said, oh, I've just come back from Thailand. It was amazing. And hey, well, let me show you some pictures. I was like, oh, I fancy going there. Straight online, booked some flights, booked a holiday. And I said to my husband, are you doing anything for the next 2 weeks? He was like, no, can you take 2 weeks off? He was like, yeah. Why? I said, oh, I'll tell you when I get home. I got home and I said, right, tomorrow we're going to Thailand for 2 weeks. And he, what? So he's used to me doing things on the spur of the moment. So for me to say, come on, let's move to Portugal. Yeah, okay, why not? I'm very lucky in that he's just like, you want to do it? Let's do it. You know, do I want to do it? I don't know. She wants to do it. Let's do it. You know, what can go wrong? What can go wrong at the end of the day?
Yeah. What fears or doubts, if any, bubbled to the surface during this whole time?
I think learning the language was the biggest thing because, you know, when you're younger, it's so easy to pick up a language and it's so easy to mingle with people.
Yes.
If you've got children, mm-hmm. you're at the school gate and you hear other languages and you hear people and there's children's parties. And so you're meeting other parents. But I the only concern for me was how do I meet people without relying on expats, without other English immigrants? Mm-hmm. And I really have shied away from that because, we've got a meeting, English expats next Tuesday. Are you coming? No, I'm not coming because I want to meet Portuguese people. I want to meet people from other countries. I don't want to just stay in my little piece of England.
Yes.
It's very easy to do that. And I'm sure it's the same for you in Madeira.
Yep.
Is it?
Yep. Yeah. It is very easy to kind of get in a comfort zone and stay with the same, but I'm like you, I want to why did I move to Portugal? Like, cause I want to meet Portuguese. I want to eat Portuguese food. Like, you know, if I want to do the same thing and hang out, not that, you know, I'm against hanging out with Americans here, but you know, it's like, I want to meet different cultures and that's what's great here. I'm sure for you too, in the Algarve, you meet people from all over, which is so cool.
Absolutely.
That people want to visit where you live, which is pretty neat. Cruise ships and like, it's so cool.
Oh, yeah, because you get more cruise ships there. We don't get cruise ships here. I know at one point that I think they may get put into Portimão, which is quite far from here. They do pull in there. But we get a lot of American visitors here, Canadians, especially in the winter, because, of course, the winters are quite mild here. But there's lots of English, lots of French. Lots of Swedish as well. So that was my only concern, which was, you know, how am I going to meet people if I don't speak fluent Portuguese? However, as we discussed before this, the Portuguese can speak English fluently. And they understand the sense of humor, comedy timing, everything. They're so in tune. And no one was happier than me going to the cinema and realizing that all films are in English.
Yes. And they're just so welcoming and friendly, and that makes it easier to be able to adjust and kind of move into a new society. Yeah.
Yeah.
What were some of the biggest challenges when you were downsizing and decluttering?
I think for a lot of people, it would be really, really hard to let go of things, but I don't have any emotional attachment on objects, none at all. I think some people would say I'm very cold, the way that I deal with things. So, for example, I love the whole Dödstädning, the whole Swedish death cleaning, that whole philosophy of getting rid of everything before you get too old to be able to deal with it yourself.
Right.
So when I was downsizing, I'd pick something up, my son is 30 now. He's 30 now. But at the time, you know, you've got all these drawings and these books and, you know, little cards and things. And I just thought, you know, a normal person would hang on to these. I'm burning them. And the reason I burnt them is because there's no going back from burning them.
And that's true. Yeah.
And even with photographs, I had packets and packets of photographs. And I would open the packet and I'd only allow myself to choose one from each packet. And then I'd burn the negatives and I'd burn the photos because I thought there's no going back. I've made that decision. I've picked my one photo. It has to go. So I think that most people would have found downsizing difficult from the emotional aspect of things that the emotions attached to objects. I don't have that. I don't have that at all.
I don't either. Yeah. So I mean, the way I look at it, you come into this world with nothing. You will leave with nothing.
Yeah.
So what, who cares? Like what? And now like with traveling, like when you were talking about the house, selling the house and getting rid of everything, right? Meant freedom, freedom to travel, freedom to like the backpack way of life, right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're stuck and it makes it so much challenging. And now, I mean, I love buying little knickknacks. I used to, but now I'll pick something up and I'm like, do I really want to carry this sucker around everywhere?
Yeah.
Like, and in the RV, it's like the rule is if you bring something in, something must go. Yes. So then I'm like, oh no, what am I like? If I buy this, something's got to go. I'm like, no. But it's so freeing, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. Because little things can cause, not arguments in our house. So I'll give you an example. My husband bought me this little carved, he knows I love birds. I absolutely love birds. He bought me this little carved wooden bird. I can't tell you how angry it made me. He's like, well, you look angry. You look upset. And I said, I just got rid of everything I owned. I just gave away everything I owned. And you're giving me something I really don't need. And I was trying to get it into his head. When you go on a trip, please don't bring me anything back. Unless it's food, I don't want it because I don't need things. I mean, the things behind me, I've had to kind of grab them to kind of get little stains behind me. This painting, I made myself with some acrylic paints and a 3-pound canvas because I was like, I have to create this illusion that I'm living in this lovely, you know, creative space. But actually, I live in a rented house with everything, all the furniture came with the house. And I live a very, very basic life. I buy clothes because I like buying clothes, but I don't buy many. I think people would be shocked how few I buy. But I buy food and clothes occasionally. I don't buy anything else, nothing else. Because I pick, like you, I pick it up and go, do I need this? Will it enhance my life?
Really,
Can I live without it? If I was, if the house was burning down, would I save it? No, right, I don't need it.
Exactly. You mentioned before about time was the one thing that you wanted more of. And actually like, not having so many things and stuff to maintain that gives you more time. So looking back at Gail before, what was your day-to-day life like then? And what is it like now?
Well, I think before, because I had this huge house, that meant it was quite a greedy beast that needed feeding with money every month. I was so focused on work. I am a workaholic. I freely admit that I'm a workaholic and I can't help myself. So suddenly when you don't have these outgoings every month, it's like, well, what do I do? I don't have to do that thing anymore to earn that money. What do I do? Of course, I create more work for myself by doing something else. I'm like, oh, I need a website. I need to motivate other people to do the same as me. I need to start an Instagram, not expecting anyone to ever follow me on there, maybe 10 people. And then I find I've got, you know, now it's over 600,000 people following me on there. It's about 1 million people altogether on all my platforms. And I'm like, why have I created another beast? But of course, that one doesn't need feeding in the same way, because that's a creative outlet for me. That's a way for me to.
And just sharing Gail.
It's really different, because before I was motivated by earning the money to feed the beast that was the house and the car and everything. And now you still need a purpose though. You still need a purpose. And that's where the book came from. It's like, well, I found my way out of the darkness. I need to help other women find their way out of the darkness. That's what I need to do. I need to have a value, because when my son left home, when my son left home, he is suddenly, he's self-sufficient. He's gone, which is amazing. That's like, well done, mom. You've done a great job. He's self-sufficient. He's confident. He's successful. That's great. But it's okay, well, what's my purpose now? What's my value to society? What's my value in general? I'm not a mom anymore. I'll always be his mother, but I'm not a mom anymore because I don't have a day-to-day role doing that. So then I created this other interest. I mean, I've got so many interests: origami, paddleboarding, painting, writing. I'm doing all the things that I didn't have time to do before.
Yes, time.
It's time. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing is, a lot of people don't realize how precious their time is. Yeah. So, you know, we all scroll occasionally. You're scrolling, you're like, what am I doing? I've just wasted an hour scrolling. I could have done an hour of Portuguese. I could have painted yes. something. I could have written a poem. I could have baked a cake. Whatever it is, yeah. I could have done something else. So, and also I'm getting to the age where my friends are dying. I'm being honest, they're dying. And yeah. I'm thinking, if they had an evening, would they be scrolling on their phone? Or would yeah. would they, it's so precious that evening, what would they do with it? So I try to learn things, I try to do creative things. So the old me was working, exhausted. Now I'm working when I want to work. I don't have to earn a lot of money. I like earning money. Who doesn't like earning money? But I don't have to yep. earn a lot of money. Right. So now I'm doing things that have value to me, but also have value to other people. But I'm also doing the creative things as well. You know, spending more time with my dog, spending more time outside, learning different sports, taking up kettlebell. I didn't know what I was doing when I started doing that, taking up jump rope. It's just realizing that you are the creator of your universe. And if you
yeah.
don't take that for granted, you can achieve so much more. You can be so much more. So the old me was very work, blinkered. But now my eyes are fully open. And now I'm very conscious that if I'm working too much, I stop and I take time out to do things I enjoy. Because I just don't think people have enough fun anymore. People have kind of forgotten their inner child. And yes. it has become this very sensible, suit-wearing, middle-aged person who has lost the ability to even laugh or smile. So that's the old me, was very serious. And the new me is very like, hey, nothing's a problem. Are we dead? No, right. Everything's good.
Yeah. You know, the number one regret of the dying is living life for everyone else. And so many yeah. people don't take that big leap because they're so worried of what everyone else is going to say or what they're going to think. And, oh my gosh, I better just stay right where I'm at. It's going to upset the apple cart. And then they end up just being bored or lonely or they're unfulfilled. And filling their time with things that they don't really want to do.
No, I think the thing is, it's also learning to be authentic as well. I think when you have a little bit of time when you're not focused on money or, you know, paying the bills and things like that, when you're not paying bills, you can kind of take a step back and say, well, what makes me happy? Am I being true to myself? Well, no, if you're working for a corporation, you're not. You're playing a role and you're blinkered in what you're seeing, you're careful about what you're saying. And then when you no longer work for a corporation and you don't have somebody, you know, hitting you every day for results, you can say what you want, you can be who you want. And I'm quite an energetic life wherever person. And I realized at work, I was never like that. I was very quiet, not quiet, but very, people would say I was icy. It's because I was just in protective mode all the time, you know. Careful about what you're saying, but careful about how you're presenting yourself. Now I don't care. If people don't like me, I just don't care. If you don't like me, that's great, because I probably wouldn't like you. So that's okay. And I think so many people worry about what other people think about them. I really don't.
I don't either. I think that's one of the nice things that do come along, I think, in midlife is you just start to care less and less because you don't have time for it.
No.
Like, I don't have the energy for it.
But you're so tired. You're tired of being judged. Yeah. You're tired of being critiqued. You're tired of people telling you what to do.
Yeah.
And then, and I only learned this in the last few years, is learning to say no. Why did it take me so long to learn to say no? If someone says, do you want to do this? I'd be like, oh, I could do that. Oh, maybe I could jiggle these. No,
or
I
try to think of some excuse.
Yeah.
Or something.
Like, so amazing. Creative.
No. Yeah.
Just like, no. So now I just go, oh, no, that's not for me. And then people go, oh, okay. And then that's it. That's the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
So I have this thing. My husband will always, if he said, do you want to do this? Like, oh yeah, that's for me. Or I'll say, oh no, that's not for me. And he always jokes and saying, oh, you're deciding what's for you, what's not for you. Because I just go, no, that's not for me. I'm not interested. Yeah. And I think because my generation, we were raised as people pleasers. You know, did what you were told. Yeah. Why did it take me so long to shake that off? I just don't know.
Yeah. And the perfectionism, all of that. It's like, I'm perfectly imperfect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You go, oh, you shouldn't wear a short skirt or shorts because you're 57. I don't care. I wear shorts nearly every day. Someone said, why do you still bother wearing makeup? You know, you're too old for makeup. I'm like, I will never be too old for makeup. I'm going to be wearing...
Yeah.
I'm going to wear lipstick until
even
I
just
can't.
Like put it on today. I was like, I'm going to put on a red lipstick. It always makes me feel more daring and amazing. I'm like, why not? You know, who cares?
Hey there, midlife movers and shakers. Are you ready to come alive in 2025 and make it your best year yet? Well, I've got something super exciting for you. On January 9th at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, I'm hosting the Best Year Yet workshop. This is your chance to hit the reset button and design a life you absolutely love. Together, we'll walk through my three powerful steps to envision your dream year, energize your goals, and embody the life you've been craving. And the best part, it's totally free. Yes, free, free, free. Plus, when you register, you'll get your Best Year Yet playbook and a guided meditation to kickstart your journey. So, what are you waiting for? Head over to bestyearyet.net right now to grab your spot. That's bestyearyet.net. Let's make 2025 the year you truly come alive.
So when you start, so when you moved to Portugal and you started kind of just sharing your story, did you think it would evolve into what it is now?
No. I have these moments where I kind of run away from it because it's overwhelming. So when I first started posting, it was just a bit of fun. It was just a fun way to connect with people. And I was growing my hair out to silver and I was connecting with other women who were doing the same because they were connecting with me. And oh, it's just a bit of fun. And I had like 10 followers. Oh, it's just a bit of fun. And then overnight it became 70,000. And I was like, what? I didn't sign up for this. So then I disappeared for a few months. And then I kind of come back and start having a little look again. And some nice people. I'll find out what they're doing. And then it just exploded. And I still to this day don't think anybody's watching or reading. I can see how many views, you know, there's been millions of views on some of my videos. And it blows my mind because I didn't do it for that. It's kind of an accidental success, I suppose, if you consider followers as success. I don't think of them as followers. I kind of consider people as just, oh, they're interested in the same things as me. I hate that whole following.
Yeah, what do you think it is? What do you think? I mean, besides the fact that you're amazing, but what do you think that they're so, I mean, a lot of people will live vicariously through others, right? What is it, do you think, about your story that they're just fascinated with?
Well, I know because I meet a lot of people and they also message me and they said, one, it's my energy. They're literally you know, you're dancing around, you're doing this, you're cycling, you're paddleboarding, where are you getting your energy from? And they said that I motivate them. So if they see me skipping, they're like, well, she can do it. I'm 30. Yeah. So maybe I should give it a go. So I know that they're saying, well, I thought 57 was old. You know, and these are 30-year-olds. There's a lot of younger women following me. And they say, oh, I wish my mom would look after herself like you. And I show your account to my mom and, you know, she's not really interested. But, you know, I've started eating properly and I've started skipping and I've started doing this. So I know that people they're looking for somebody to inspire them the same way as I was looking for people to inspire me. I mean, there's two people that I absolutely adore. It's Mimi Kirk. Mimi Kirk is I think she's 80-something now. 82. I want to say she's 82. And she's 82 and she walks 10 miles every day and she's a vegan cook. She's written vegan cookbooks. Well, they're not actually cookbooks because she eats raw. So they're vegan food books because she's not cooking. But you know what I mean? So there's Mimi Kirk and she inspires me because I'm like, well, she can walk 10 miles a day. If she can eat only raw, then so can I. There's Jane Goodall. I think she's amazing. She's the naturalist and she's the lady with the chimps. And she's...
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's still doing that now. She's still touring the world now. And I'm like, she's incredible. And then you've got Joan McDonald, Train with Joan. I think she's late 70s and she's doing, you know, the lifts and everything. And so I was looking for somebody to inspire me, but I didn't find one person who was talking about food, fasting, fitness, you know, downsizing, empty nesting, all of these subjects. And I suppose that's why I wrote the book, because I thought, well, and the book, I don't know whether I created it too big, really, as in too many subjects, because that's my head is like a box of frogs. And I'm like, I have to tell people about fasting. I have to tell people about downsizing. I have to tell people about eating plants. I have to tell people about the blue zone diets, because there's so much that
there's a lot. Because, yeah. Right? I mean, in midlife, there's so much going on.
Yeah. Oh,
you got
is.
The menopause, you got the empty nest, you've got career changes, relationship changes, body changes. There's so much going on between your 40s and your 50s, whether we want it or not. A lot of these changes are just going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, your skin changes, you know, and there's the weight gain. Of course, that's inevitable, I suppose, because you just don't need to eat so much when you get older. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. And I think people overcomplicate the whole weight, the weight debate of what you should do. You know, if you don't eat too much, you don't put on weight, unless you've got a medical condition, of course. You know, let's say you haven't got a medical condition. You're either eating too much, drinking too much through alcohol, calories that way, or you're not moving enough. It's that simple. So, right.
I always said that too. I'm like, it's not rocket science.
I agree with you. However, I think people don't know how to count a calorie. People don't understand the nutritional value of things. And that's not their fault. It's very, very difficult to understand calories and which calories are good calories and which calories are bad calories. Yeah. Because you can eat, you know, 10 jelly beans and that's a good snack calorie wise, or you can eat an apple and that will keep you feeling fuller for longer. So I think it's such a complex subject that not many people take the time to learn about. And of course you've got this constant balancing act of, well, how much exercise did I do today? Have I eaten enough or have I eaten too much? Should I exercise more? So I think that it can be overcomplicated. And I think people get really, really confused by, or what should I be doing? Should I be running? People say to me, I can't run and I can't skip. What should I be doing? And I'm like, do whatever exercise you really enjoy. It's that
exactly.
simple.
Just like you said earlier, just don't overthink it.
Don't overthink anything. Well, I mean, I chose jump rope skipping because where I live is really, really hot. So I had to find something I could do indoors. I don't want to pay for something monthly. So I wanted something that was a one-off purchase, which is a rope. And then I thought, I don't need much equipment. I need a pair of feet, you know, and a good sports bra and a rope. That's it. That's all you need is a good sports bra and a rope. That is it. And so that's why I started with jump rope. You should do something you love. Walking, canoeing, cycling, yoga, ballet, tap, whatever it is. Just keep moving, because that's the most important thing that we can do, is to, you know, maintain our strength and our fitness, because most of us end up falling over and we never recover from that.
Yes, exactly. Before your midlife edit, were you that much into health and wellness before, or did that kind of come after?
Yes, I was. So before, I put a lot of weight on in 2021. I put a lot of weight on, and that was lockdown. That was the whole, you can't exercise. You know, prior to that, I'd been walking, no exaggeration, 6 hours a day, hiking 6 hours a day. I'd hike 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the evening. My dogs were so happy. And so I was burning a lot of calories. I was slim. I was fit. Probably upper body, not so much, because it was mainly hiking. But I ate a whole food plant-based every day, and I was walking every day. However, when I was confined during lockdown, that gin and tonic became a little bit more attractive because there was nothing else to do in the evening. So I'd go out for my one walk a day, and then in the evening it was like, oh, okay, well, I'll go and watch the sunset. I'll take a gin and tonic with me. So I was drinking one gin and tonic. Oh, well, two gin and tonics, okay. So I was having two gin and tonics. And then I don't think my food really changed, but I was drinking more alcohol than I'd ever drunk before in my whole life. Mm-hmm. And so, and also I wasn't exercising as much. And it was only when I filmed myself, because I love filming things, and I was filming this little river setting in the north of Portugal, and I was diving into the water with my dog.
I saw that reel. And it was like, you had the captions off to the side that people were like as if this was somebody else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, they were saying, oh, that's not you. And I, oh, that is me. And I was filming it because it was such a beautiful, perfect setting. And then a few weeks later, I was kind of going through my videos and deleting and clearing them out. Oh, who's that? And oh, that's me. So that's me. How, what, how did that happen? And, but for me, it wasn't so much my weight, because I'm carrying a lot of extra weight at 32 pounds. Mm. I'm carrying a lot of extra weight, but I just looked, my eyes were just not sparkling. Because my husband always says, you've got really sparkly eyes. The whites of your eyes are white. The your color of your eyes is very vibrant. And I could just see that I'd lost my sparkle. So that's when I was like, okay, some, I've got to do something. So it's like, what did I do before? Why have I put this weight on? What have I changed? Well, I'm drinking. Okay, I've got to stop drinking. How do I control my food without it being micromanaging everything I eat? Okay, well, I'll do intermittent fasting. I'll try that. So I tried intermittent fasting and the weight just fell off. It fell off so quickly. It really surprised me. So I lost the weight, 32 pounds within about 3 months. I was like, oh my God, that's amazing.
Wow, that's awesome.
It was amazing. And then I thought, well, I need to tone this up now because there's a lot of jelly belly going on here. So that's where I thought, well, I can't, you know, the walking thing, I can't walk for miles here because it's so dry, it's so arid. Lots of the plants are very vicious. So you'll end up with ripped open legs. That's no exaggeration. So I was like, okay. And that's where I thought, okay, I'll try the jump rope. And day one, I thought I was going to die. There's a video of me and I'm lying on the floor and I'm like, what am I doing? I'm going to die. But I kept going for a month. I was like, I'm going to do a month. And then I've never looked back. I just love it. It's such an incredible workout on the spot, indoors. It's just amazing. I love jumping rope.
One thing I've noticed with you within the stories that you share is that you were conscious of where you became unconscious, if you will.
Yeah.
You're very like, and we all, you know, fall off and like, okay, we're get out of our routine or whatever. Like it happens. We're human beings being human, right? But then the key is that awareness to get you back on track, to change things up. Like, okay, this isn't working. Like, I need to try something else. I need to change my diet. I need to get out. I need to walk more. I need to do more. I need to move to Portugal, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it's that awareness of like, all right, so this is not working for me, right? Yeah.
It's so true. I think,
Oh, no, I was just going to say, too, the courage to change, the courage, no matter how small the change is, no matter if it's, okay, I'm going to go buy a jump rope. I'm going to start jump roping, right? I'm going to change my diet. It doesn't have to be such big leaps. I think sometimes people feel like they'll watch people like you and I, like these big leaps in our life. Like it didn't just happen overnight, right? It was literally picking up one thing in your house and going, okay, is this going in the garbage? Am I going to burn it in the fire? What am I doing with this? You know what I mean? Like this is the end, right? Not the end, but this is the byproduct, right? They didn't see all of the steps that needed to take to get you to the other side. But the other side is always very possible. It is taking those tiny little steps that kind of equal one big leap, if you will.
But I think it's more scary to stay where you are, to stand still.
Yeah, I did too. Yes.
I you know, people say, oh, you know, I love routine and routine's good for you. I hate routine. I wish every single day of my life could be completely different. I wish I could wake up every day in a completely different place and figure out, okay, where do I get food from? You know, what do I need to wear? What can I do? What's that over there? That to me would be my idea of heaven, which is waking up in the morning, not knowing where I am. Now, a lot of people are so scared of change. They stay where they are. Yep. And to me, that's more scary. You don't like your partner. You don't like your house. You don't like your job. You don't like your dog, whatever it is. You don't like it. You don't like your body. You know, but you're doing nothing about it. To me, that's more scary than trying something. I would rather try and fail than never having tried. I want to be the old lady with so many ridiculous stories of all the crazy things I've done. Do you remember when I did that? That was crazy.
Remember the one quote about sliding in your gravesite like sideways, wine in one hand, chocolate in the other, like, woohoo, what a ride, rather than, okay, just slowly laying down in your casket. Wah, wah, like it should be filled with so many amazing stories. So much so that like, I hope that when I'm on my deathbed, that there's so many things to think about that I'll be like, oh my God, like I want to just stay alive just so I can think about all the cool shit that I did in life.
Yeah. I know what people say to me, oh, you've got a bucket list. And I'm like, well, no, because as soon as I think of something, I do it.
Yeah.
I just do it. I literally like, oh, that's, I mean, even buying my old vintage car, because I've always had really nice luxury cars. And I was like, oh, I'd like a really nice, like, old vintage car that I don't care if someone hits it. And, you know, everybody loves an old car, don't they? And I was just, I'm just going to go buy one. And I just literally went out and bought one that day. And I just think that people spend so much time thinking about things. They never do them.
And they talk themselves out of it.
Oh, you can talk yourself out of anything.
Yes.
And I'm somebody, I'm very analytical. I'm analyzing stuff all day, every day. Because I'll say to my husband, oh, do you remember the other day you said this? Well, I've thought about it and I've come up with five different options. And he's just like, who does that? But I do. I'm analyzing myself all the time. Have I eaten the right food? Have I exercised enough today? Am I taking care of my mental health? Am I remembering to breathe? Am I remembering to breathe properly? Have you been grateful for something today? You need to be grateful. And then when I go to bed, I'm lying there and I think, right, I need to think about positive thoughts about things that I want to achieve or things I want for other people. And I want to go to bed in a positive mindset. So I'm very analytical. And I think it's only when I kind of slipped and I was drinking, so I couldn't be analytical, the kind of things. I mean, it was a very weird time for everybody, wasn't it?
It was strange. Yeah.
I don't think I'm ever going to get over that whole period because it was just a really bad time for me. I feel like it was my parents had the war in their life, and that was like a massive event. And I can't say that COVID is the same as a war because I've never been. However, taking away everybody's right to even go outside your door was a very weird feeling.
It was very, very strange.
Yeah. So for me, it was a whole shift in that time where our life as it was just completely changed. So I found that very difficult to deal with, the fact that my son was in another country, I couldn't just hop on a plane and see him. So for me, it was kind of this major event that I didn't deal very well with. But I, like you said, I had the self-awareness to say, oh, you're drinking too much. You're not looking after yourself. And it's time to change. I mean, there's not one good thing about alcohol. There's not one health benefit about alcohol. But of course, that's not what we're marketed, is it? But I do have a lot of self-awareness every day. I'm analyzing what I've done, what I'm doing, what I plan to do.
There's that saying of a comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there.
That's so true.
Yeah. How do you feel like you've grown in just the last few years as a woman, as a human being?
Oh, I think I've had a full awakening. Of realizing that I am the creator of my life, that I can create every opportunity, anything that I want, I can create. And that's being putting everything in a positive way, thinking positively. You know, people talk about raising your vibration, and it's true. If you let yourself sink into the mindset of doom and gloom and everything's terrible, that's what will be attracted to you.
Yep.
Whereas if you say, okay, that didn't work out for me, but maybe it didn't work out for me in that way for a good reason, and I'm grateful that that happened, and I'm excited for what will be because things didn't work out that way. So I've changed the way that I think about everything. I don't want anybody speaking negatively around me. Everything has to be positive. And I think I've realized that you should never stop learning and never stop questioning everything. And and also another one is that I've realized that you can't change someone else's path for them. You have to give them the tools, shine the light for them. But if they don't see the way that you feel they should go, you should wish them luck and wave them goodbye and wish them well. Because I think the thing is, I was somebody that people pleaser, but I wanted the best for everyone. I literally, someone would ask me for help and I was in. I was like, not taking over, but I was just like, oh, you could do this and you could do that. And I've done this and I've done that. Yeah. And then I thought, no, you have to give people the tools to look after themselves or open the doors themselves, give them the keys, but don't guide them there.
Exactly.
So shine the light.
People will change when they want to change, if they change.
Yeah. And you can't wake anyone up to their potential or possibilities because they have to wake themselves up, or they have to get into the so dark, deep into the darkness that they see your little bit of light and you can help them. But you you definitely can't help other people lead their lives. You can only give them the tools so they can help themselves. And that's something I didn't realize before. I thought I could help everybody and solve everybody's problems. But
wouldn't that be nice? We could just like fix everyone and everyone's happy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's also, that's part of being a people pleaser and a perfectionist. And let me just, I had that. That's taken me a while too, to learn that lesson. My brother actually taught me that lesson. I'm like, you can be a catalyst. You can be a positive impact in people's lives, which is probably why you and I do what we do, right? But everyone out there listening or watching us, it's up to them to actually make those changes themselves.
Yeah. And also, you can't give people that spark. They have to find it within themselves.
I know. And sometimes I think what you were saying earlier is about like sometimes you have to go into the dark to find that light.
You do. I always say that the darkness is a place to explore, but it's not a place to linger. I say that because when you're in the darkness and everything seems hopeless, is that you shouldn't fight it. It sounds weird, but you shouldn't fight it. You should just like wallow there and say, okay, this is not great, but I'm here. What am I going to do? So it's almost like I'm in the darkness. I can't get out. What are little steps that I can take to at least take control of this chaos? And I think that's where the intermittent fasting came from, because I thought the world seems out of control at the moment. I can't control anything, but I could control, I can change the way that I eat. That's something I can do. Oh, I can change the way that I think about exercise. It's not punishment. It's actually a treat. It's a treat for my body, because then I feel amazing afterwards. And, you know, I had the cold shower after every jump rope session. And we go, why would you do that? And I said, because it's horrible. And then I know that that's the most horrible thing that's going to happen to me today. I've got it over with. So, you have this cold shower and it's hideous and it's horrible. But afterwards, you feel refreshed. So, I'm a different person. I think the thing is, I was so busy taking care of everyone else and worried about everyone else. I really wasn't taking care of myself at all. Not at all. Not mentally, not physically.
Mm-hmm. I love the name of the book, Midlife Edit.
Yeah. It came to me really, really quickly, because I thought, I feel like I'm editing my life. I feel like I've got this story and I'm editing it, and I can actually change the plot every day. I can change the plot every day. And then the cover, which is a butterfly wing, I really felt like I'd been this caterpillar my whole life, but not even knowing I was a caterpillar. And it was only when I was in this darkness, it's almost like the chrysalis of reinvention, that I went in there, this little caterpillar, and came out this very, I felt very powerful. When I came out of this darkness, I just felt like I could do anything. I just thought, because like you said earlier, I stopped caring about what anybody else thinks about anything I do, anything I say, and I can be who I want to be, how I want to be that person. Yeah. And so the midlife edit was, okay, well, learning to say no was really difficult. Why was it really difficult? But I've learned to say no. That's amazing. And then I've realized that I'm the creator of my, bringing positivity in, and I'm the creator of my life. What do I want? If you don't know what you want, how are you going to get there? Something as simple as that. And I don't like to say meditation, because a lot of people get turned off when you say meditation, because it can mean different things to different people. So for me, meditation is kind of bringing all my power back to me and saying, right, am I comfortable? Am I happy? Am I stressed about anything? If I'm not, what am I stressed about? And maybe it's because I haven't exercised. Maybe I haven't eaten enough. Maybe I've been online too much. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's the whole using your mind to draw your resources back and kind of like center yourself and go, okay, no, I'm good. I'm safe. I'm comfortable. I don't need anything. I'm stressed because my brain's creating these problems, but I don't need to be stressed. And it's just a moment to calm. Yes. And then I kind of create this golden force field around me, this imaginary golden force field where nothing can hurt me. Mm. And that to me is meditation. It's that just centering your thoughts on yourself.
Yeah. Just listening, observing the thoughts. Yeah. I used to think the meditation was, okay, I need to stop my thoughts. And I was like, oh my God, this is impossible. But then, right, it's just like watching the ticker tape of thoughts going across your mind and not judging them. Just be like, and it's like this, I feel like you end up becoming kind of your own coach, your own guide through your life.
Yeah.
Talking to yourself, as crazy as it might be, right? But asking yourself those questions, even difficult questions, listening for the answer of how you feel about something.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like this nice internal dialogue that you have with yourself.
Yeah.
And knowing that you can change that. You can change that dialogue. You can change the thoughts. You can change how you feel about something. Like it's fascinating once you realize how much power that you have over yourself and who you are and who you are becoming.
Absolutely. And I think the thing is, we all have problems, and human nature is, if you don't have a problem, you will find one. You will create a problem.
Yeah.
You know, we're really good at that. It's like, I don't have a problem. That means I have a problem I don't know about. So we're, you know, that's just our mind, isn't it? It's like burning too much. So I do this thing where I'm like, well, what are the things that I'm kind of conscious that they're not a problem, but they're things that on my mind, I kind of imagine them all in front of me. And then I just let them fall to the floor. Mm. I like see them all, then they fall to the floor, and then I walk over them in my mind. And I'm like, okay, well, they're obviously not important. They're not that important because everything fell to the floor. And I say that if you have your health and your immediate family, your friends are healthy too, I mean, there's really not a lot to worry about. If you've got a warm shower, a belly full of food, nothing else matters really. Nothing else matters really. And it's just those basic creature comforts. If you've got those, a roof over your head, you've got food and clean water, you can get through anything else.
Yeah, I totally agree. I love the serenity prayer. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I remind myself of those times where I'm like, yeah, I'm having a rough day. And I'm like, okay, seriously, like, what can I change here? Even if it is just changing my energy and change the vibration, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think being grateful for even when bad things happen to you, obviously, there are terrible things that happen to people, and no one should be grateful for that. But, you know, when things go wrong in the day, I just think, okay, well, I thank you for that. Thank you. Because that's tested me. It's, you know, it tested my patience. Or, oh, actually, because that didn't work out, I can do this instead. And I think some people get so caught up on the things that didn't work out, they can't move on. Whereas I'm literally somebody that goes, that didn't work. Right. Next. I don't even think about it ever again. Right, next.
Exactly.
That didn't work. Let's try something else. And when things don't work out, 100% of the time, I feel they work out better in the end.
Yes. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Just like what Steve Jobs had said, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect the dots looking backwards.
Yeah.
So it's like, as you look back at your life, even like the really shitty times in your life, it's like, oh, well, if that hadn't happened, I wouldn't have gone to this dot and this dot and this dot. And here I am now.
Oh, absolutely. When I was working for this company and I was sitting there listening to my boss going on and on about something, and I was really disagreeing with them. And I can't explain the story, but they really wanted me to do something. And I said, no, it's not in the customer's best interest to do that. Mm. And they were like, well, you have to do it. And I said, but I'm not going to do it. And we're having this conversation. And there was like 20 people in the room. And I just thought, this is not going anywhere. What am I doing here? And I literally put my coffee cup down, walked out of the meeting, and I never went back. I left the building and I never went back. Because I
love it. You're like, I'm out.
I just said, that's it. I'm done. And then my husband's like, oh, what are you doing home? I went, there's no one to talk about it, but I'm not going back.
Coffee mug behind.
I did. That's the only thing I was annoyed about, because it was a really nice mug.
It would be funny if you walked back and you're like, I just came to get my mug. Sorry, now I'm gone.
But I didn't even make a fuss. I just put my coffee cup down and walked out. And oh, she's gone to the bathroom. That's where she's gone. He never came back.
Oh my God, I love it.
But that was a moment of, this is going nowhere. Do I want the rest of my life to be like this? No, I don't. I'm gone. But it's having, I don't think it's brave. I just think it's having the energy to deviate from this path that is, because your path in life is growing in front of you. It always is. And it's up to you, sliding doors. Do you get on the train? Do you not get on the train? Yeah. I always say, get on the train. You can get off the train again, but get on the train.
Yes.
And that's the advice I give to everybody when people, oh, I don't know what to do, or I'm scared. Or I'm just like, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
You know, exactly. If you're jumping out of a plane without a parachute, I say, don't do that. But apart from that, you know, just try it, do it. If you don't like it.
Right.
Go back to what you were doing before.
Exactly. Just pivot and try something else.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I love about this, I love the whole conversation, but it's just simple wisdom. It's not, right? I mean, it's just live and enjoy your life.
Because I think the thing is a lot of people realize too late. And that's why I feel very blessed that I had that moment in the darkness to kind of reevaluate my whole life again. You know, what do I want? What do I want for other people? What do I need to do to improve myself? And you know, on my 50th birthday, it was 7 years ago in Sicily, I met this doctor and he was nursing geriatric patients. And I said to him, which patients do the best and which patients do the worst? What's your best bit of advice for aging? And he said, the patients who lived by their age, I'm 80, I should be sick, I should take tablets, they were the ones that did the worst. Whereas the ones that were like, oh, I don't care, 80, well, it's just a number. He said they were just living life to the max. And that really, at that time, set me on a path of, age means nothing. Yes, my face is changing, my hair's changing, my body's changing. My mind isn't changing. My mind isn't changing. My mind's still expanding. And our minds should expand until the day we die, really. Mm-hmm. But I think so many people get into a rut with their houses and their cars and their holidays and their jobs that they need people to see how successful they are by the things that they've got. Where anyone comes to my house, they're like, you're living in this? And I'm like, yeah, it's great. It's just a little cottage in the middle of an orange grove. It's nothing fancy. Yes, I could have a much fancier house, but I don't need it. And that's something I'm really grateful that I learned from him, which was, you know, don't be limited by your age. Just enjoy life every day. And then just learning to be happy with less. You need so few things to make you happy. So few things. Time is the thing that will make you the happiest.
I love it. So good. Where can we find you and how do we get your book? I already have your book, but where can anybody else get your book?
Well, I've got a website, 50sister.com. 50sister, I'm going to have to change it to 60sister, I guess, in 3 years' time. But 50sister.com is my website. And there's lots of jump rope information there, jumping information. And there's a bit about my book on there as well. You can buy it from Amazon. There's also an audio book, which strangely has outsold the paper version. People have gone crazy for the audio version, which is great. So yeah, 50sister.com, everything's on there. And I'm on YouTube and Instagram are my two main channels.
Thank you, Gail. You're awesome.
Thank you.
We'll have to see each other sometime. You come to Madeira or I'm going to the Algarve.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love that, Wendy. I really, really would. Thank you so much. It's been really good fun chatting.
Thank you. Everyone have a great day.
Did this podcast inspire you, challenge you, trigger you to make a change, or spit out your coffee laughing? Good. Then there are three ways you can thank me. Number one, you can leave a written review of this podcast on Apple iTunes. Number two, you can take a screenshot of the episode and share it onto social media and tag me, Wendy Valentine. Number three, share it with another midlifer that needs a makeover. You know who I'm talking about. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Get out there and be bold, be free, be you.